With Montana News, I'm Eric Whitney. At the state legislature today, a Republican-led House panel voted down the Flathead Water Compact, but that doesn't mean the bill is dead. The bill would ratify an agreement between the Confederated Salish and Kootenai tribes, the state of Montana, and the federal government settling water rights for the tribe and irrigators on the Flathead Reservation. The House Judiciary Committee voted 11-10 to give the bill a do-not-pass report, which can typically only be overruled by a vote of more than three-fifths of the House. Republican Representative G. Bruce Myers of Box Elder joined Democrats to oppose the bill.
I wish there would have been a lot more education to begin with on both sides, and that's what I was hoping to do as the lone American Indian Republican vote, is to bring some education clarity to both sides, and apparently I failed.
Following the committee vote, Democratic Minority Leader Chuck Hunter of Helena objected. He says the bill should go directly to the House floor to be voted on by the full House. Whether that can happen will be the subject of a House Rules Committee hearing tomorrow. A similar process led to another contentious bill passing last week, the Medicaid Expansion Bill. Conservative Republicans tried to block that bill in the same way they're trying to block the Flathead Water Agreement, by saying the bill needs a 60-vote supermajority to pass. Democrats were able to successfully argue that only a simple majority of 51 or more votes was needed for the Medicaid bill to pass, and say that's true for the Flathead Compact, too. The fight over House rules is scheduled to begin at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning. In other news from the Capitol, lawmakers today passed a bill to join every other state in the nation in outlawing bullying. Democratic Governor Steve Bullock is expected to sign the bill. The measure defines and prohibits bullying public school students in person and online. Previous bullying legislation has failed in Montana as far back as 2003. Opponents have said the proposal would infringe on school districts' ability to enact local rules. And the Montana Democratic Party has appointed Nancy Keenan as its new executive director. Keenan has nearly three decades of experience in politics, serving in the Montana legislature and as state superintendent of public instruction. She ran for the U.S. House of Representatives in 2000, losing to Republican Denny Rehberg. Keenan also served as the president of NARAL Pro-Choice America, a leading women's rights advocacy group. Keenan is a graduate of Montana State University and has a master's degree from the University of Montana. She replaces Andrea Marcocchio, who held the post for less than 2 years. State Democratic Party Chairman Jim Larson says Keenan has the experience to help re-elect the governor and statewide officials, take back the U.S. House seat, and make additional gains in the Montana legislature. It's okay to eat the fish downstream of last winter's big oil spill on the Yellowstone River. Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks has lifted an advisory urging people to use caution when eating fish caught near the break in the Bridger pipeline near Glendive. That January oil spill dumped about 30,000 gallons of crude into the river. Most of the oil hasn't been recovered. FWP's Bob Gibson says biologists tested over 200 fish downstream of the spill site.
They test the fillets or the muscle meat, the stuff that people would normally eat. And that is what we're saying came back clean with no detectable levels of petroleum.
While the crude may not have tainted the edible meat of the fish, Gibson says oil byproducts may have accumulated in the fish organs, which are usually discarded by humans.
We'll still worry about whether there is an accumulation so that we can tell whether those fish truly were exposed to oil and how much, or whether they were someplace else when the oil went down.
Gibson says those cumulative test results are expected to be released any day now. The final pieces of a Republican plan to expand mental health care are approaching approval in the state legislature. 94 representatives voted today to endorse Democratic Governor Steve Bullock's amendments to two House mental health bills. The measures would boost local services for crisis intervention and overnight mental health care. Bullock offered amendments last week removing a stipulation for future funding procedures and clarifying the definition of treatment beds. The governor has signed the third tenet of the Republican mental health package, another House bill, to fund short-term inpatient treatment. He also signed a Democrat-sponsored bill addressing youth psychiatric crises. Another Republican-sponsored bill for transitional group homes is awaiting a vote in the House. Lawmakers have included half of Governor Bullock's $20 million mental health bid in the proposed general budget.
Tomorrow at the state legislature, lawmakers will hear a bill that would restrict where high-risk sex offenders can live and work. UM Legislative News Service's Madeline Beck reports.
Republican Representative Jeff Essman of Billings is carrying House Bill 219, which would ban adult sex offenders at a high risk of reoffending from living or working within 300 feet of a child care facility or a place meant for minors. Essman says it's meant to protect children.
I would just like to provide some separation between this very small population of high-risk offenders and the schools and playgrounds, parks, and daycare centers that house our children.
Opponent Nikki Zupanic of the American Civil Liberties Union says this could have unintended consequences.
Isolating offenders in this way and removing them from sound support systems is likely to have a destabilizing effect.
The bill will be in the Senate Judiciary Committee Tuesday at 8 a.m.
A suspicious package delivered to the federal building in downtown Helena, leading to the evacuation of that building along with the federal courthouse and the state liquor warehouse, didn't contain anything hazardous. Helena Police Captain Kurt Stinson says the package arrived via U.S. mail this morning at the Senator Max Baucus Federal Building. The Independent Record reports an X-ray and a police dog indicated the box may have contained hazardous materials, but a bomb disposal team determined that the package was safe and a legitimate shipment to the building. Investigators have not said what was in the package. Forecasters say dangerous fire weather is in store for much of the northern plains over the next several days, with gusting winds and low humidity levels that could lead to explosive wildfires. The National Weather Service said a cold front will push into the region late tomorrow, generating strong winds and isolated thunderstorms. As a result, red flag warnings and fire watches have been issued for southeast Montana. I'm Eric Whitney. Thanks for listening to Montana Public Radio News.